big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host. And this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today is our first podcast after Easter, and I hope you guys had a great Easter. But after Easter and even after Christmas, it begs the question of what's next? What's happening now? Is it just a big letdown now that Easter is done and there's nothing else to look forward to? Or is there actually a way that your church or ministry can actually capitalize on what just happened at Easter and use that momentum for something bigger? I am actually of the camp that there is still lots of great stuff that can happen for your church or your ministry even after Easter. There are four dates that I think that are really key still in the calendar year up until the main part of summer that your church or ministry can utilize to keep that momentum going. And to kind of talk about that, I've invited my friend Stan Rada, who's a campus pastor at New Life Christian Church, the Linton Hall campus here in Northern Virginia. He's going to be joining me to share about his ideas and his thoughts on what your church or your ministry can be doing right now to capitalize on Easter. But before we get into the interview, I have a quick note from our sponsors. Hey, my friends over at MinistryDownloads.com have officially launched a brand new experience called Ministry Downloads All Access. Have you gotten your pass yet? MinistryDownloads.com adds brand new resources every week to their library, including sermon series, games, admin helps, and media. And the All Access membership gives you unlimited 24/7 access to the entire library for the entire year. That's right. And right now, they're offering an introductory offer that will get you all access for just $17 a month. And get this, when you take advantage of this offer right now, you'll lock in at that $17 price for life. That's right. Early adopters can get a lifetime membership at the $17 rate. So go ahead to MinistryDownloads.com and sign up for All Access today. All right, so now let's get in the interview with Stan Rada, talk about those four key dates that your church can be using to keep the momentum going after Easter. All right, with me right now is my friend Stan Rada. Stan, how are you?
Tom, I've never been better than I am right now.
Oh, really? Because you're hanging out with me.
Yes.
Right. See, yes. There you go. That's good. Hey, I'm not just the only brown noser. You're a good brown noser, too. Too bad I can't do anything for you. I can't, like, give you this huge promotion or
literally
raise.
Nothing to offer me.
I don't have anything to offer you.
And you tease me with Little Caesars free pizza, and then you're not even taking me out to lunch either.
But you said you had an upset stomach, so I can't go to Little Caesars.
I would have done anything with and for you, Tom. Oh. And you pulled it out from under me.
Oh, great. Well, good. Stan. Well, good. Okay, well, it's been a little bit of time since I've had you on the podcast. We've now gotten through Christmas, and now we just got through Easter. How was your Easter?
Well, Easter was fantastic. It was really good. We had a great day. A lot of planning, prepping, praying, all that kind of stuff leading up to Easter Sunday. Ended up having a really good week. We had, I think we had 457 in attendance at our campus, and we had 7 baptisms, which was the best part. So
that is really cool.
Yeah.
7 baptisms, that's a lot.
Yeah, we had a lot. It was primarily it was kids who came out of our kids baptism class that we've been running once a month. So we had a bunch of kids over the last couple of months who had taken that and decided to be baptized. We had 6 kids, and then we had one adult lady that wanted to make the decision as well. So it was neat that it all kind of ended up falling on Easter.
Yeah.
But it was cool to have 7 baptisms for sure.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Good things happening on the resurrection of Christ. You begin a new life, you know?
That's right. Well, yeah, I mean, we tried to make somewhat of that connection. Yeah. I tried to pull from the sermon a bit and talk about, hearing the voice of God, obeying. We talked some of the discipleship stuff and whatnot. But yeah, we tried to pull from Sunday a bit and make that connection to some degree.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. All right. Well, the reason why I have you on the podcast today is because we are now after Easter.
Yep.
And now it's like the question of what's next? You know, What?
Yes.
What is next? Not the thing, like, listen, if you don't have a thing that you've invited your friends back to for Easter, from Easter to the next service, this is not that podcast. This is kind of an episode focused on, hey, what are some things that you can be doing now until the summertime?
Right.
Kind of more of a brainstorming session, but Stan's had a lot of experience with this, running his own church for a while, and so I just figured it'd be great to have him on and thinking about next ideas that you can be doing to capitalize on some things coming up in the spring and summer. So, Stan, yeah, you know, what are some thoughts that come to your mind about, you know, now that Easter's gone, you've put a lot of time on Christmas and Easter. Now what do you do?
Now the first thing you do is you take a nap and you yes, and you rest back up
yep,
because whenever you kind of come down from those highs, it's too easy to kind of crash and burn coming down from something like Easter. And so it's really important to, I would say, it's important to take some time, recharge, rest, spend some time with your family. That is actually a spiritual and an important thing to do. So I highly recommend that. You need to recharge in some way, even if it's not a nap, even if your recharge is going on a hike or riding motorcycles or whatever your thing is, you do that thing because you need to recharge, because you can't go into the next season on empty. So it's yeah, time to recharge right now. You do that now. That's the first thing you do. The second thing I start thinking about right away is not even really summer. You've got 6 weeks to Mother's Day. And so the next big thing you need to be thinking about is Mother's Day. What can you do on Mother's Day to make that special for moms? I would highly recommend, as you process toward Mother's Day, I know that the standard is, okay, let's just buy a bunch of tulips, put them in some 5-gallon plastic containers, leave them out in the lobby, tell mom to grab one on the way out the door.
And say thank you.
And say thank you, have a great Mother's Day. And then she goes home to clean her kitchen and sweep the floor because everybody goes home, falls asleep, the kids go outside or play a video game, and mom ends up doing a bunch of work anyway. So I would encourage you, as you're going toward Mother's Day out of Easter, to think of something you can actually do that is fresh and new for mom for Mother's Day. Maybe pull 5 or 6 of your key mom leaders, women leaders, and say, hey, what would actually mean something to you on this day? Maybe it's, going to the budget a little bit, spending $100 on a couple of spa gift cards give those away to a couple of moms each service or something. I don't know what the answer is, but the next big thing you've got to be thinking about is Mother's Day. Don't wait till the week before and then just give away flowers.
Well, right. That's actually a really good thing, because the flowers is that token thing that, like you said, everyone kind of always gives and kind of reverts back to. But I heard a stat a while ago. Isn't Mother's Day one of the higher rated, like, most attended church services of the year?
Yeah, I was actually getting ready to say that as well. What actually is happening is, because so many of the younger generation and stuff are going away from church as they get older, the number one thing moms are asking for who still attend church is, all they want for Mother's Day is their kid to attend church with them, college age kid, whatever, sometimes even younger. Just come to church with me on Mother's Day. And so, yes, Mother's Day has joined Christmas and Easter as the top 3 most attended Sundays of the year. So you have an opportunity to take advantage of that, yeah, and try to reach people who are coming in, who have many of them have either grown up, gone to college, and think they're too big for church now, think that the fairy tale is all over and they don't want to hear it. And now you have an opportunity on Mother's Day to really preach the gospel. I forget where I heard that stat. I heard the same one. I read that somewhere. I was actually just going to take credit for it because I couldn't remember who said it. So I figured I might as well take credit for it.
Well, I'm going to look up that stat because it is out there. Yeah, it is out there.
It is a thing. Yeah.
And I think that's great that you talk about leading up to it. Don't just focus on that one day, but you can do things yeah, leading up to it. You could even do like a Mother's Day tea,
yeah,
or some sort of Mother's Day activity, maybe a mom son dance or something like that. These are ideas that you could do that kind of center on them.
Some sort of an outing, something that leads up to it, some sort of an event that prepares them for it, something where there's a lot of things you could do. You could find a way to host an event, like almost like a parents' night out thing, but where the dads come in and you have moon bounces at your church building. If you have a building, if you're portable, maybe you have to rent a facility to do this, or you have to rent your school an extra night or something, and the dads you go to the dads, you say, hey, look, for Mother's Day, we're doing this extra special thing. We're going to give them this giveaway thing over here. We want you to come in with the kids, and we're going to give you some moon bounces and some basketballs and, mm-hmm. you know, a movie screen and popcorn. And you guys are going to take care of the kids for like 5 hours on this one Saturday. Yeah. And we're going to help support you in it, but we're going to give mom time off, and we're going to go do this. We're going to give this thing to the moms. Or, I mean, there's a lot of things like that. I would definitely encourage, it's not just another day anymore that you just get to a Sunday and, oh, you just give away a flower. It's actually one of the biggest of the year now, where you have an opportunity to preach the gospel to people. And so it is worth investing more time in putting something together for mom, and you've got 6 weeks to do it.
Yeah, and that's great. I think that's, like you said, it's a very strategic Sunday.
It is a
that
very,
should yeah. not just be a throwaway Sunday.
Right, it's a strategic Sunday now.
Yeah.
It used to just be something that just kind of came and went. You give away the flowers, you do the thing, you say hi to mom, you make them stand up, you put them in sombreros or something, you know. And now it's a little bit different with the way culture has shifted, and now moms just want their kids to come to church with them one Sunday a year, and they're showing up on Mother's Day.
Yeah.
So you got to take advantage of that.
No, that's true. Okay, so let's move away from Mother's Day. Those are some good ideas. It hopefully gets people thinking about Mother's Day.
Memorial Day is 2 weeks after.
Okay, Memorial Day. What could you do? I mean, a lot of people travel, don't they?
A lot of people travel. I would say don't do something that tries to force people to show up at, you know, these 15 things you're going to be doing, because then you're forcing them to choose. And honestly, they're going to choose the lake. They're going to choose the lake.
Yeah.
They're going to choose the...
They're going to go to the beach.
They're going to go to the beach. They're going to go away. They're not coming to your building. You're going to get, you know, a small percentage, maybe of a return, a few core people probably. I mean, unless you've established some yearly Memorial Day event where you've got, you know, thousands of people that show up at your thing that you've been doing for 20 years that you've made a big deal of, they're not going to come to the first thing you do this year, this time. So I'm not really sure what the answer to it is. I do think you need to think strategically, and you need to think creatively about, well, it's Memorial Day, and so you're honoring those who have given their lives. You've got to come up with a way to integrate that maybe somewhat into the message. Mm-hmm. I also struggle personally, I guess, maybe with how far we go down that path, because Sunday is about Jesus, and so there is a tension for a lot of churches too about, okay, how far down that path do we go? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a creative video. Maybe there's maybe it's some sort of an after church meal, and you bring in barbecue or something. You cater it from a local place. You give them some business. You make a new connection, and you cater in a nice meal, and you have a big barbecue, or you do something like that to kind of fits the theme of, you know, what it is people are going to be doing anyway.
Yeah, it's like what we like to call the low-hanging fruit. What is something that you can do that's not going to expend a lot of resources, but if you get
simple,
10 people show, it's
simple
great.
Win, if 10 people show up, great. If 100 people show up, great. Yeah. You're ready either way. But I would not... My personal thing would be not to try to create some big, huge thing where you're trying to expect 500 or 1,000 people to show up at your big event on the weekend when they are going to go to the beach.
Yeah.
They are going to go away. And then all you've done is expended a bunch of resources, energy, and now you're exhausted and you're depressed because nobody showed up at your event. And then you're depressed right before you go into summer when it's going to get even worse. That's a really bad idea to be depressed on Memorial Day. Like, don't go that path. So
okay, so I want to hit on two other events that I've seen. One that we didn't even talk about, but as we're talking about Mother's Day, I was thinking Father's Day.
Yeah.
So, you know, Father's Day, you know, it doesn't get as much pub as Mother's Day.
Nope.
But here's something that we
get left out.
We fathers get left out. But here's the one thing that we've done the past few years on our campus for New Life is our student ministry has done Father's Day dodgeball right after the last service. And we've actually even done, I think we've done root beer kegs before.
Yep.
And
make sure you get the right keg. If you're going to do a root beer keg, get the right one, because otherwise that's a whole different kind of party.
And I think we've even like grilled like sausages or bacon or something like that. Had special things just for dads that day. How have you seen that with you? Like, have you experienced things like that and where fathers feel appreciated and genuinely cared for that day?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. I think dads are... pretty simple a lot of times. I think most dads on Father's Day, I mean, they'll say the right thing. The right answer is, I want to spend time with my family on Father's Day. I want to eat with my family. I want to hang. That's true. Dads also just want to take a nap. They want to take a nap. They want to be left alone. They want to recharge. Okay, maybe that's just me. Maybe it's personal to me. Yeah. I want to take a nap on Father's Day. I think a couple things you can do. Again, it's kind of like, how much of the battle do you expend out of resources and energy to try to fight an uphill battle? The reality is that people are going to come to your church on Sunday morning, and then they're going to go to lunch with their dad, and then they're going to go home, or they're going to go out for ice cream, or they're going to watch a game, they're going to go to a baseball game, they're going to do whatever. That's just the reality. So now the question is, how do we take advantage of a simple win while we have them? You get a chance to share the gospel, do something cool for dad. Last year, what we did, a couple years ago, we did the mugs with the root beer cakes. We did some mugs. We gave away little New Life mugs. And then last year, we didn't do a huge giveaway, but we brought in a kind of a photo booth kind of background with a – I think we just used our pipe and drape. We created a backdrop of black pipe and drape. And I actually had a guy at the campus who's got a Harley, and we had him ride his Harley into the school. Nice. And so there was this photo op area where dads could sit on the Harley with their kids or with their wife, and then we had people taking pictures. And so then they could post on social media, you know, oh, check it out, New Life. We got to sit on this Harley at church today. And it's not like it was some over-the-top thing. It was totally free to do. But it was simple and fun, and the people who got probably the most joy out of it were the kids.
Yeah.
And what dad doesn't want his kids to be happy? So the dads liked it just because their kids are happy and they got to sit on a Harley. So that was pretty simple. And then this year we're toying with a few other things, but I'm thinking about going to a local barbecue place who does a little like pulled pork sliders, and just having them cater in a bunch of those, and then say to dad on the families really on the way out the door, hey dad's family, say we appreciate you guys being here, grab a pulled pork slider courtesy of local barbecue place, you know, give them some pub, you make a new connection, but you also get to do something cool for mom and dad. For dad on the way out the door, you know, pulled pork sandwich or something.
Oh, that's cool. That's good. Okay, last one. 4th of July. Do you do anything around 4th of July? Like that's such a hard one because at least in our area, again, a lot of people go to the beach.
Yeah, they're out.
Or they're out. They're off for a few days, you know. So can you – is that even something to debate? I mean, do you do a picnic?
No, we don't do anything big. Again, it goes back to the resources. What do you have in your budget? Have you been doing something for 10 or 15 years that's building momentum and steam and getting bigger and bigger that you can keep pouring into to make an impact? Or have you literally done nothing? This is not the year to try to go, okay, we're going to do this 1,000-person event thing. 1,000 people are not going to come. They're 20 are going to come. And then next year you hope 50. And then the next year you hope 200. And like that, right?
Yeah.
So I don't really do a lot extra. I actually have tried to use July 4th for to encourage life group and discipleship connections. And so, for instance, our life group, we always go to the same spot in this town near us called Manassas. We watch a show in Old Town Manassas. So we go down there. There's moon bounces. There's funnel cakes. There's all the vendors. So we try to encourage some community out of that time. Yeah. But honestly, I don't fight that battle because there's a lot of red-blooded, America-loving people out there.
Yeah.
And again, if you're going to get into the battle of, we'll come to our church because Jesus said kind of a thing, as hard as it is when we talk that language, they're going to go away. They're going to leave. They're going to go to the beach. They're going to go to the fireworks show. So instead of fighting that and trying to make them come to us, I try to find ways to make that a simple win. In that case, it's a simple win for a community. You try to get your life groups doing stuff together. You create something where there's a simple win as opposed to fighting an uphill battle that you're going to lose and be depressed about.
Yeah. So. No, I like that. You're mobilizing your life groups to be all about community, and you want that. And so, again,
The families involved. Yes. Kids are out. You don't need a babysitter. Kids love fireworks, so everybody gets to go. Everybody gets to hang out. Yeah. You know. So instead of doing it by yourself or segregating yourself, now do it in community, and suddenly your church has a purpose for why it's doing, you know, something something like that.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's good. Okay, well, these are four, I think, key dates that I think we need to be aware of, and you got to think about how you can mobilize your community. This has been helpful, Stan, so I really appreciate you helping me.
A few ideas, hopefully.
You had some really good ones. And, again, hopefully with anything, that this spurs different ideas with them in their context, so I think that's great.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, though, let's talk about you.
Oh, no.
Let's talk about your stuff.
Well, it all started in 1980 when I was born.
This is not a counseling session.
Oh.
No, or testimonial session.
It was started one summer at band camp.
And, yeah. No, you have a great blog, podcast, and newsletter out that I love.
Yeah.
I love your newsletter, actually. I look forward to getting it every Friday.
Yeah.
Tell people about your newsletter, your podcast, and then your blog.
So the newsletter goes out every Friday morning. Obviously, it's just a free email thing. Right now, what I do is I just share content that I find around the ministry world that I think is interesting and unique. Sometimes it's apologetics in nature. Sometimes it's church planting or discipleship. It may be a variety of any of those things. But I just try to share a wide variety of ministry content. What I say is, rather than going and looking for it, subscribe to my email. I'll send it to your inbox, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I put a few things in there about my podcast. I put a few ministry notes and ideas, things I'm thinking about, put those in there as well. And then I also have a section for just somebody on social media I think you should be following, somebody in the ministry world. So it helps to kind of see what other people are doing, who to follow. So that comes out in the email newsletter.
And it's called Stan's Field Notes.
Stan's Field Notes. Yep.
Sorry.
Whatever you said.
I had a problem saying it.
Stan's Field Notes.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
okay.
So I just call them Field Notes. But they're my Field Notes, and you can get those on my website, stanrotta.com. And for people who subscribe, I throw in my ebook on self-leadership for free as well, so you get that also. Then the podcast is roughly the same. I'm going out trying to find good conversations on leadership development systems, ministry ideas, communication, Easter, like anything coming up, I'm trying to get ahead of that as best I can and just share some ministry content, some tips, tricks. I just had a great one on disciple making movements last week, which was really powerful. Actually, I want to have that guy back on. Former professor of mine, have him back on. But that's the podcast, just called Stan Rotta Podcast. Again, you can find that on the website, stanrotta.com. And what was the other one? What else do I do?
You blog every now and then.
Oh, periodically. I'm not as good at blogging, but I do throw that out there. Yeah. And then I'm also now a guest contributor writer for ministrypass.com as well. So.
Good. Yeah, that's great. Now, what I love about your podcast is that you have some big names on there. You've had some big name people on there, but you also have a lot of people who are in the trenches who are just like me and that I can relate to. And I'm like, this isn't a guy at a mega church that's got millions of people all over. He's got just trying to figure it out too.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about your podcast. You've got regular Joes on there doing good work. And
I just try to keep it really practical and encouraging. You know, it's just the keep being faithful kind of stuff. And here's some people who are doing it well. And here's some things you can learn or be inspired by. So yeah, try to keep it really practical.
Good. So. Well, I love it. So it's great. I love your field notes and I love the blog whenever you blog.
Whenever I do blog. I'm trying to be better about it. Yeah.
Well, Stan, as always, thanks so much for joining me
today. Yeah, man. No problem.
All right. So there you have it. My conversation with Stan talking about those four dates. And just to recap them, it's Mother's Day, it's Memorial's Day, it's Father's Day, and it's 4th of July. And again, Mother's Day is a key one. It's a really big one. Father's Day is really good too. You can do some stuff on Memorial Day and 4th of July are different, but you can still utilize them. You can still maximize in some ways. Just it's going to look different than some big Easter event or Christmas event. You can still mobilize your church. It's how are you going to do it and in what context. So I would love to hear your thoughts on this. Again, these are four ideas that we thought of, some brainstorms, some topics, but what works for you? Do these days work for you? What do you do for them? How do you maximize them? I would love to hear from you. So hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder and share your thoughts with us on there. All right, heroes. Well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. If you enjoyed the podcast, definitely go to iTunes and subscribe to it. I'd love for you to do that. Or you can go to ymsidekick.com and you can subscribe for it there. Or you can check out the blog or the podcast or the vlogs and even the Twitter ebook about Twitter advantages that you can use to maximize your Ministry Potential on Twitter. It is not a throwaway. Twitter is very useful, believe me, and there are three key things that you can be using in your ministries to maximize it. So, you know, you expand your reach on Twitter. It's a great opportunity. All right, here is why. I hope you have a great rest of the week, and until next time, have a great one.